Thank you so much, Richie and Jess, and thank you, Michelle. But most of all, thank you, Jesus. And we just want to celebrate this time with you today. And so what I would like to speak about this morning is found at the cross. Found at the cross. And the scripture we realize today is Good Friday. And sometimes one asks, well, what was so good about Friday? Well, the good news was Jesus went to the cross for us. And Luke 23:33, it says, and when they came to the place that is called the skull, Golgotha in other translation, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. At this time of the year, we gather to reflect and gain revelation of the finished work and the power of the cross. And in our lives, when we grasp this, we are completed in him. But when we are unable to grasp the completed, the finished work, the power of the cross, the revelation is diluted somewhat. And when we complete this, or see what the completed transactions of the cross were on that historic day in history when Christ went to the cross for us, there is nothing more to be added to the cross. There is no other plan. The cross was, and the cross is, it yes. completed, finished once and for all.
Amen.
Our title today, Found at the Cross, makes a statement but also poses a question for us. Found at the cross. And the question is, would you have been found at the cross on that day? And what would your response have been at that cross? And how we understand and perceive the finished work of the cross and will determine our intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's not just another event on the calendar. Everything goes back to the cross. And we can't get to Easter Sunday, which we love to celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, unless we've been to Good Friday. And so here we are. Just if you could imagine with me for a moment, on that very day, it was a day of turning in history, a day of crucifixion that took place on the Via Della Rosa. And the crowds that thronged there and gathered there, and they reacted differently. Some, they came and they bayed for his blood. Some, they shouted at him. Some wept loudly. Some stood in silence and maybe just wept in silence. And other people, I think, were just standing there aghast at this terrible pantomime that was unfolding before them, before their very eyes. And when I ask, found at the cross, what were you doing that day at the cross? If you cast your mind back 2,000 years, there are a number of people that are mentioned in the Bible. So I want to look at some of those people today that were found there. What were their attitude? What was their perspective? They witnessed the same event, but they responded differently. And they saw the crucifixion through different lenses. And so again, I'm asking today, through what lenses are you perceiving or seeing the crucifixion? And we see found at the cross. And I'm going to take us through some scriptures in Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 to 61 is the storyline. We don't have time to go through all the scriptures, so I'm just going to pull out a few, but I encourage you, read the whole story in the Gospels. So the first person that we see there was Simon of Cyrene. Matthew 27, 32 says, and as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him, this man, to carry his cross. So Simon was there, but I think an unwilling participant. They placed an obligation upon him to carry this cross. And so do you feel obligated about the cross of Jesus Christ? Does being at the cross make you uncomfortable or make you feel obligated about, well, this is what we do at Easter, so we have to go to church? And I want to tell you, the crucifixion is every day. And we remember it happened once and for all 2,000 years, but it's a memorial for us every day. Do you come to the cross because you feel you have to, you're obligated, or because you want to? One is religion, the other one is relationship. And we are free to come to the cross. You are free to come to the cross.
Good.
I'm not talking about free to do my own thing or my will. I want to tell you, if you've come to the cross and you've come to Christ, your will died at the cross. The second group or people we see at the cross were gamblers at the cross. These are probably the Roman soldiers, Matthew 27:35. It says, and when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. This was a place of rewarding opportunity. This was a place of rewarding opportunity, dividing Christ's robes, casting lots to see who could get what piece of it. The question is, what's in it for me? I'm here, you know, maybe take a piece of his robe and go and sell it later as a means of making a profit out of it. My interest is not so much in the spectacle, these men were saying, but what I can gain from it. I know if you go to Jerusalem and to Israel, you can go and buy a little piece of cross in a box, and they probably sold 50 million crosses by now. And none of them were the one that Jesus was crucified on, if I could just say that. The third group we have are religious leaders. Matthew 27:41. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him. Those that set themselves up as the authority, we've got this, we have this, we don't know who this Jesus of Nazareth is. Religious leaders. And you say, well, I'm not a leader. Well, if you have a Pharisaical heart, you're counted with the religious leaders. They came at taunts of various levels. His person as Jesus, Son of God, his claim, his supernatural powers. He can't save himself. Come down off the cross and save yourself. His messiahship, they nailed it above him, King of the Jews, the Christ, the anointed one. The fourth group of people we have are the thieves that were there with him. And there's it unfolds an amazing story there, Matthew 27:44. And we see there, the robbers who were crucified him also reviled him in the same way. These guys were guilty of their crimes. Jesus remained innocent. And they were both looking for a way out. One with the revelation of the situation, the other still self-absorbed about himself. One said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your paradise. The other one was insulting and said, save yourself. If you can save yourself, save yourself. All they were looking for was a way out. The fifth person we come to was the revered centurion, I like to call him. Matthew 27:54. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. A place of appeasing faith. Are you like that? Well, I go to church because I have to. I'm just trying to appease my husband, my wife, my kids, my neighbor, my family. This guy, this centurion, he'd been at many crucifixions, but never experienced this one. There was something troubling in his heart that made him say, this truly must have been the Son of God. The sixth crowd we come to are what I call the overawed spectators. And you can read earlier in Scripture, we talk about they also mocked. And it says, when the centurion and those that were with him, and I've just highlighted that piece for us, they were filled with awe and what was taking place. And for me, this speaks of people that come to the and see, they just want to see the spectacle. They just want the entertainment value. And they want the razzle-dazzle. They see God's omnipotence. They see his power. The curtain, 30 by 60 feet, torn from the top to bottom. There was an earthquake. The ground shook. The earth shook. The graves were open. People came out of the graves. But they weren't affected in their hearts. They were like, wow, this is just like a circus. This is a spectacle. Others passed by and mocked him and said, you say you're the Christ, come on down, come on down. But these guys were in a place of, you know, the wow factor. Wow, look what's going on. Yet did not in their hearts stand near the cross. What would you say to Jesus today? What is in your heart today when we consider this cross? Number seven, Mary Magdalene. Matthew 27:56, among with whom were Mary Magdalene, and there were a whole bunch of women, and Mary, the mother of James, and Joseph, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. But we're just going to look at Mary Magdalene today. And Mary Magdalene was a trophy of grace, a redemptive offering because of the love of her Savior in Christ, a place of true understanding of the forgiveness, the love of the Savior, the finished work of the cross that was about to take place. And she was redeemed, set free from the demonic, set free from demons, and but always attending to Jesus. And then the last person we want to look at the cross, and there are many more, please go and read it, was Joseph of Arimathea. 27:57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a rich man. He didn't need there, but yet in all that had been done to Jesus, he mocked, beaten, spat upon, shamed. We know Peter denied him. We know the others left. But here's Joseph of Arimathea identifies himself as a true disciple, a public demonstration of his discipleship as he steps out of the shadows and steps into what God has for him and claims the body of Christ to bury and be identified with Christ. Being a follower of Christ is a public thing. It is not a private thing, my friends.
It's good.
And I want to encourage you. We going public, we going full ball, and we want to see His kingdom come as we move and have our being in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be followers that people can identify as. So I want to ask you this morning, do you identify yourself with these? Well, again, let me just recap for you. And we have here Simon of Cyrene. He was there under obligation. Do you feel obligated? The gamblers at the cross casting lots for reward. Are you in it to win it, as they would say? They were there with wrong motives. Then there were religious leaders simply to mock and to tear down. We got this. We don't know who this guy is. The thief. Are you just looking for a way out? Are you just trying to satisfy a friend or somebody else? Or just think, man, in the situation we find now, we're going to call on God, but when we're over, we're good. No, we want a commitment. And then there was the revered centurion, appeasing faith and a revelation. The overawed spectators, there for the spectacle value, the razzle-dazzle. There was Mary Magdalene, a redemptive orphan. She'd been forgiven so much, and she loved much. And then Joseph of Arimathea, stepping out in faith as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So I say to you this morning, no matter where you are, can you identify yourself or what your attitude to the cross of Christ is today? There are some spiritual truths that we can take hold of for our healing, for our salvation, for our acceptance that Christ died for us, so that we may be free. Today on Good Friday, we all need a new revelation. If you've never understood or come to Jesus Christ, today is the day of a revelation of the cross.
Yes.
When I say revelation of the cross, I want to just point out some things. And just hear what I say. It's not a debating point when I say, number one, Jesus couldn't carry his own cross. Now, we know that he could have, but he was so beaten and bled so badly that he wasn't able to, and that's why they called Simon of Cyrene to carry it. He was called to help Jesus carry his cross. But even though Jesus couldn't carry his cross, he is the only one who can help you carry yours.
Hmm.
Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Mm.
Come and receive salvation. Come into a relationship with Jesus. Come into a discipleship walk with him. Be yoked and walk with Jesus Christ.
Mm.
The second thing I want to say is Jesus couldn't save himself. Jesus was on the cross where he chose to be on the cross, and he was there to lay down his life for the world. Matthew 26:53 says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" So he could have called, but because the Father had asked him, Jesus was obedient and went to the cross.
Mm.
And the point I want to make is Jesus could not save himself, because he wanted to save you and he wanted to save me. John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave his life for us. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21, he says, Jesus, the great shepherd, he rose from the dead to care for the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He is alive and he is well and he is enthroned in majesty in his kingdom. And he looks down upon us and calls us to be his own. And then we have in 1 Peter 5:4, we have Jesus, the chief shepherd. He will come again for his sheep. Number three, I want to look at Jesus' experience separation from God. He cried out in anguish at the separation for the first time he had ever known separation from the Father. Have you ever felt the angst of separation? Maybe right now, because of the situation, some of you have some angst about your separation. I remember as a young boy, young man actually, when I left home, I probably didn't leave under the best circumstances, but it was probably one of the most traumatic days in my life when I left home many, many years ago. But have you felt that angst of separation sometimes from a loved one? And the point is, he was separated from God so that we could experience reconciliation with God.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:18 says to us, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, says the writer, be reconciled to him. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we can recap, even though Jesus couldn't carry his cross, his own cross, he's the only one who can help you carry yours. Jesus didn't save himself in order that he might save us. He needed to go to the cross to die, take her on the cross. He took all our impurities, all our sicknesses, all our sins, all the curses upon him were upon him on the cross. And that's why he died once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
The lamb that was slain for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was separated from the Father so that we may be reconciled to the Father through the power and the finished work of the cross.
Mm.
No matter what our attitude is, if we are found at the cross, we have been given an opportunity of redemption. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins on his body, the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. What a powerful scripture for us to think about and dwell on. He himself bore our sins on the cross. In his body, it was imputed to him. He took it all from it. That's why we don't have to live with guilt or shame, but we can live in the fullness of his righteousness. In John 10:30, it ends for us when he says this. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished reveals something to us. A triumph of the cross is not a submissive statement.
Mm.
I'm sure those around were wondering, now what do? We don't understand this. But we started this morning preaching and talking about the finished work of the cross, the power of the cross, the beauty of the cross, Good Friday cross. We've grasped hold of this. And so I want to finish off this morning with us that talks about the finished work of the cross. Have you identified with yourself as being found at the cross? Have you identified yourself with standing there at the cross? Have you seen in one of those characters that we portrayed? Do you see yourself Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. But I want you this morning for us to understand the finished work of between heaven and earth, those transactions that took place, and a cataclysmic explosion took place in the heavenlies that day. So we look at them that says, Jesus took my sin, in exchange, I received his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a moment. He took all my sin, that I received his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I am his righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
Not by my works, but because Jesus died on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Jesus took my punishment. In exchange, I receive his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He was punished. He was bruised for our iniquities. And we receive his forgiveness. Jesus took my diseases and pains. In exchange, I receive his healing.
Yes.
His healing upon our body. And I know in our nation and around the world, there are many sick people right now. And I encourage you, pray for them. Pray that the mighty hand of God would be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took my sadness and gives me his joy.
Yeah.
When we're feeling sad, when we're feeling down, remember, the joy of
yes.
the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
I know when we were kids, we used to sing this in Sunday school many, many years ago. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Bridget will tell you when she loses her joy, she loses her being. And so we want to say the joy of the Lord, because he took my sadness and gave me his joy.
Mm.
And finally, Jesus took my curse. In exchange, I receive his blessing. He blesses, he is a good, good brother. He is a father. He is God in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when we stand and receive his blessing upon our life, he is a good, kind Father.
Mm-hmm.
He is good and merciful.
Mm-hmm.
He is great Father. That's why we cry, Abba, Father. We come to him understanding his divine life for us. Jesus took my old life. In exchange, I receive his new divine life.
Mm-hmm.
My old nature. Sorry. Okay. We'll finish this. I clicked too many times. Jesus took my old life, in exchange I receive his divine
mm-hmm.
life. Jesus took my poverty, in exchange I receive his riches. I'm not talking about material wealth. I'm talking about the richness and the fullness of life. I receive his riches in glory and his blessing upon my life. Jesus took my rejection, in exchange I receive acceptance from God.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever felt, I don't belong? I don't feel part of this? Well, he takes that rejection and exchanges you. You're accepted into the family of God.
Yeah.
You're accepted into the beloved.
Mm-hmm.
You are part of the family of God. And then finally, Jesus took my filthy rags, and in exchange, I received garments of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that we stand clothed in garments of righteousness because of the finished, completed work of the cross. And so today I want to appeal to you. If you've been listening to this message and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to just, wherever you are, I'm going to pray a prayer
mm-hmm.
that you can pray along with me and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. And for those of you who never understood the revelation of the power of the completed work of the cross, I want to help us today. So let's just pray. Father, I come to you. And Lord, we thank you for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you would pray with me, Father, I come to you today a sinner. And Lord God, I want to repent of my sin. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for all my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking my sin upon you at the cross, that I don't have to carry it. Thank you, Jesus, that you bore my guilt and my shame, that I can live in fullness. Thank you for taking my filthy rags and giving me rags of righteousness. I come to you, Lord God, and thank you for salvation. Thank you for being my Savior. And for the rest of you out there, Lord God, we ask today that you would encourage us through this message.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, that you would lift us up, that you would declare your goodness over our life once again. Father, we declare that Jesus Christ, thank you for your cross.
Yes.
Thank you for your death on that cross.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lord God, that we can look forward to Sunday at the resurrection and the power.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And amen.
Bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy your family. We'll see you again. Thank you. Bye-bye.